our Bible reading this morning.
So that was Jessica. For those who have been paying attention to some of the advertising, the Australian Ninja Warrior series starts today.
And
that's been a big part of my life because my sister was actually one of the contenders in the Australian show. Sadly, she won't be making an appearance. She auditioned and didn't get further than that. But I was just—I saw that video of Jessie Gaff in the last year's American episode.
All its many parts form one body.
I am in awe of her strength and abilities. And
for we were all baptized by one Spirit.
Endurance was just incredible to make it through that obstacle course.
Whether Jews or Gentiles,
some of you won't know
me.
Or some of you may be surprised to see me up here if you saw my name in the bulletin. You may
even
be
so,
expecting to see Cherie Brugel, and my name is now Cherie Chambers. And I'm a regular member of the 430 service at this
church.
I got married a few months ago, which is why my name is now Cherie Chambers.
Stop being part of the body.
And last time I spoke at this church, it was in the evening service last year, and I spoke on singleness. So a few things have changed since then. And I think it's highly appropriate that the pastoral team asked me this morning to speak to you on a passage, particularly the latter half, 1 Corinthians 13, that is often spoken about at weddings.
But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body,
so
every
having had
one
a wedding
them,
recently,
just as he wanted
all
them to
those
be.
Loved up feelings, it's
if they
wonderful
all one part,
to be able to share this part of God's
be?
Word with you this morning.
As it is, there are many parts,
so please
parts,
join with me as I pray before we
body.
Get into God's word.
The eye can't say to the hand,
"Dear Lord,
I don't need you."
I thank you so much
and the head
for the
can't
amazing
say to the
gift
feet,
of your word.
I don't need you.
And I pray that this
on
morning,
the contrary,
you would just be
those
teaching
parts
us
of the body that
afresh,
seem to be weaker.
How much you love us, Lord, and the,
and
part
the parts that
we, play
that we think are less honourable, we
Amen.
Treat with special honour. And the parts that are
have
unpresentable are treated
from
with
gift
special
envy.
Modesty.
I don't know
while
about you,
parts,
but when I see the worship
no
team up
treatment.
Here, particularly like the drums,
God has put
I've just always wanted to
together,
like get up there and grab those sticks and bash
greater
away at
honour
that thing.
To the
don't
parts
worry, I
that
won't
lacked
now.
It. So that there should be no division.
I unfortunately don't have a
but
sense of rhythm,
should have
so I think you would all leave.
Other.
Like, I'm very
if
serious, I can't
suffers,
clap in time.
Then every part
so that
with
is not my skill set, and I need to leave that to the worship team. And, you know, I'd love to just pick up a microphone and sing, but again, you would all leave.
And each one of you is a part of it.
Yeah, piano, it was something that I tried when I was little, but
first of all,
when I was
apostles,
eight, I fired
prophets,
my piano teacher.
Third teachers, and then
so,
miracles,
unfortunately, that is also not
healing,
a skill that I possess.
Helping, guidance,
but I wonder, are there
the
things that you
of
often see other people, other members of the
apostles,
church doing that you're like,
all
I,
prophets,
you know, I want what they're doing,
teachers,
I wish that I was gifted in that
all
way.
Do work miracles? Do all have
there
the
is
gifts of
sometimes things that we wish we could do better
do
or that we were skilled
tongues,
in?
Do all interpret.
And it might just be
now,
that that's not the way that we've been created
gifts,
and we've been designed.
And yet,
and that
I
we
will
need
show
to be supporting and encouraging
way,
other people who have those gifts.
If I speak
and
in the tongues of men,
making sure that we're focusing
angels,
on the way that God has gifted
but
us
do not
and playing
have love,
our role in
I am
this,
only
the body
a
of Christ,
gong,
His church.
Or a clanging cymbal.
Now, as you
if I have
heard
the
before,
gift
when
of prophecy,
the Bible verse was very beautifully read out, that it's a very long one, so I'm going to kind of have a bit of, more of an aerial perspective of it today,
but I do not have love,
if that's okay. It's a passage that I'm sure many of you who
if
have gone to church for a long time are very familiar
poor,
with.
And give over my body
and
to hardship that
this
I may
is just
boast,
a part of a very short holiday
love,
series that we're doing.
I gain nothing.
Last week, Brendan was here
love
and he
patient,
spoke to us about
love is kind,
how we to
it
service
does not envy,
and minister in the church.
It does not boast.
This week I'm speaking about
it's
how we are to minister and love one
it
another.
It does not dishonour others.
And next week Andrew's going
and
to be finishing off this Ministry of the Pew
it's
series by speaking
angered,
about worship and
it
how we can
no
all be worshippers.
Love does not delight
well, today's
in
passage,
evil,
it's a letter that Paul wrote to the Corinth church. It's a
it
part
always
of that,
protects,
the letter of 1 Corinthians.
Always trusts. Always
and
hopes,
this is a church that were often
perseveres,
struggling in the faith. They were getting
love
used to the different ways. You know,
but
that Christianity kind of changed a lot of their cultural
tongues,
tendencies and things. And Paul's
and
writing to encourage them about how they can remain strong and focused. And he just, at the beginning of chapter 12 that we're looking at, he was speaking to them about the different spiritual gifts that they all have.
Superhero outfit, and she'll need to be superhuman.
Encouraging them
no
that
woman
the
has finished
that
stage one, and this course
indeed
has
alive
been
and well within them and within the church. And now in this part of the passage that we're looking at from verse 12 in chapter 12, Paul is telling the church of Corinth why it is that they have been created as individuals, but that together, all of their diverse gifts and their diverse skills and abilities, they form one body, and that body represents the body of Christ, and that they are all to be working together and functioning and striving for the same goal. And he's instructing the church how they should be treating one another within this body, and with the knowledge that they have all been uniquely made, that no one of the members is the same, but they are all vital to the body of Christ. And that as a collective, we exemplify Christ. So that video of Jesse Gaff, the ninja warrior, I wonder if Jesse would have been able to complete that obstacle course if she'd skipped leg day. If she had gone to the gym and only focused on her arms and upper body and her legs were weak, she wouldn't have been able to run and jump and make all of those hurdles, would she? She needed her entire body to be strong and fit. You know, the same if she hadn't worried about building up her core strength, then she wouldn't have been able to run up that amazing wall and jump on the top and heave herself over the edge. You see, just like Jessie needed her body to be in peak condition in order to achieve that end goal and hit that buzzer at the end, we need our body, the body of Christ, to be at its peak and to be performing and functioning well in order for us to strive for the goal. Only our goal is a little bit different to an obstacle course, isn't it? Because Paul isn't talking about our physical bodies. Because it doesn't actually make a difference if your physical body is able or not for you to play a function in the body of Christ. We're as a collective representing Christ. I grew up knowing a very wonderful man. His name was Keith. Some of you may have actually bumped into him or know of him. He was at all the Baptist events and he would run all the sound desks. He was an IT guru and he was an amazing servant of the King. And sadly, a few years ago, he passed away. But you see, Keith, as a small child, had been a polio victim. And as a result, he was in a wheelchair and his body was not as it should be. He had all kinds of physical ailments. And I'm so thankful that I got to spend lots of time with Keith and grow up with him, and I blame him entirely for my obsession with IT. He was very, very gifted at that. Because he didn't let his physical disability stop him from playing his role as a member of the body. And when he passed away, someone put it very, I think, correctly when they said it felt like the church had lost one of its limbs. Because the role that he played in that place was so vital and so needed. Like, the sound desk wasn't operating properly and the kids weren't able to get really quick rides to the car park by jumping on the back of his little motorized wheelchair. And he was just an amazing man, and his absence was very noted. And still is to this day, actually, even several years later. But Paul's talking to people just like Keith and just like us, isn't he? Anyone who is a member of the body, whether we're imperfect physically, you know, Keith, like I said, he was in a wheelchair, and it would have been quite easy for him to be ignored or pushed to the side because he wasn't seen as valuable. But he was embraced by his church community and he did not let that get in his way. And I remember having a conversation with him years ago, and he told me that one day when he got to heaven, he was going to go for a nice long run because he was excited about using his legs, and I hope that he has. But it doesn't matter what your physical body does and doesn't allow you to do. We don't all have to be like Jesse Gaff, Ninja Warrior, but we're all a part of a different race, aren't we? We all have a very different goal that we're striving towards together. So Jesse's goal was that buzzer at the end and to finish the race. And our goal is to be representatives of Christ and to bring Christ's love to the world. And when our body, when our collective body isn't at its optimum, then that race is harder. When members are failing, when people aren't playing their roles, when the body isn't unified as one, then that's going to be a very difficult goal to achieve. And we all have different gifts, don't we? Whether it's, you know, the beautiful-hearted people that went to Woolloomooloo this week and Hope Street and served the homeless there. Whether it's the hospitality team that serve us after church and the worship team and preaching. And there's so many different roles, people cleaning the church and serving in so many different ways. So whatever it is that God has gifted you to do, to serve in his body and help the body to be strong, I encourage you to be playing that role. And spurring one another on and encouraging other people in the gifts you see they have and not envying their gifts and wishing that you had it, but encouraging them and being like proud with them that that is the way God has gifted them. So Paul states that while we are all individuals and we have a diverse range of gifts, that as we use them together and as we serve and minister in the ways that we have each been individually gifted, that we are representing the body of Christ and that we are unified through him. Now, there's a comic, a cartoon that I really enjoy, that I follow a lot. It's called The Awkward Yeti. And the artist, Nick Sulak, has created this character, the Awkward Yeti. He's a big blue, kind of like the Cookie Monster in style kind of look. But the whole idea of the Awkward Yeti is all of his comics and cartoons are the Awkward Yeti's different body organs talking to each other. So he has the two main characters, which are the heart and brain, that, you know, they're often in conflict. The heart's the whimsical, you know, I can achieve anything and conquer the world, and the brain's the logical, reasoned, I'm going to bring you back down to earth. And the organs have these little conversations with each other. And there's often like the tongue and stomach will speak to each other. The tongue's like, I want something really delicious. And the stomach's like, no, save me. I can't have any more sweets today. But yeah, it's a very cute cartoon and it's very clever. But it made me think about how we as the body, if you will, represent these organs. So there's different parts that might be in conflict with each other and talking to each other. Paul uses the imagery of the head and the feet, how they both need each other. And we can't be in conflict with each other saying, I don't need you, or I want this and I want this. We need to be unified in that. So when our different body parts and organs are talking to each other, how are we talking? Are we talking with love and grace? Are we seeing that person as someone created in the image of Christ? This Josh Sulak, the cartoonist that I was mentioning, he also created a card game that pretty much you all are given a few cards that represent a body organ. So you could have eyes and you could have a lung and you could have a bladder, all of this. And the idea is to knock out the opponents by getting rid of, you know, you could get rid of the eyes by attacking it with conjunctivitis or giving it some kind of... the slogan of the game is a family-friendly game of organ harvesting. So every organ needs to be attacked twice, and once it's been attacked twice with two different diseases, it's out of the game, and the goal is to be the last one with an organ left and to get rid of all of your opponent's organs. It's a little bit disturbing, but it's very fun. But I was playing this game a few months ago with my husband and some friends. And at the end, my husband and I were the only two left in the game. And there's a trump card, which I didn't know about, that is one of your attack cards. And with this card, you can actually knock out only one of the organs, but you can knock them out in one hit. And it's the only card that can do that. Every other card, you need to have two hits. But this trump card, I was sitting there going, I'm so excited. I've got my organ left and I haven't been attacked at all. I'm going to win. And then my husband had this trump card, and my organ was the brain, and his trump card, which could knock out the brain in one hit, the disease was love. So it took two hits on the heart, but one on the brain, apparently, to take out the brain. So my husband trumped me with love, and I thought that was a great metaphor for life. But, you know, so love removed the brain in one single move. But it got me thinking, the creator of this game realized the importance of love, didn't they? They saw that love was something that is so valuable and so powerful that it's the trump card. And I think that we have a trump card, and I think our trump card is also love, that ours isn't used to knock out people's organs. It's used to build one another up and to serve Christ and to represent him. Love is something that we use to be united and the thing that binds us together and helps us to stay strong and be representatives of the body of Christ. When we have love, then our body can become one and it can be fit, it can be Ninja Warrior fit, and we can remain strong. So when we move from chapter 12 of the passage into chapter 13, where it moves into this love passage, Paul transitions from speaking about the different members of the church and warning them not to fight. He tells them that the best gift that anyone can have is love. And this is a gift that we're all able to have and we all should have. And it's a thing we should be striving for. And if any of us have ever been to a wedding, there's a good chance, as I mentioned, you would have heard this passage read out. Because this passage can be very representative of what a marriage is, right? How sacrificial love and putting the needs of your spouse ahead of your own are so important, and having their best interests at heart and not your own. It's what a true good marriage should look like. But Paul actually isn't speaking about a romantic love when he writes this. He's not speaking about just loving your spouse in this way. He's speaking about loving everyone. Every member of the Christ is worthy of this kind of love, and it's the kind of love we should be exemplifying. I'll just read out again just verses 4 to 7 of chapter 13. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonour others, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. We are called to be kind to all those who are a member of the body of Christ. To not envy others, and this means not having the gift envy I was speaking about before, but instead to be lifting one another up and rejoicing in the gifts that they have been given. And to be serving in the ways that we have been gifted. To not be boastful if we're the ones that have the gifts that other people see as the more glorious or spectacular gifts, but to be humble and serve the Lord with them, and to not be proud. To truly love another, we cannot dishonour someone else. We need to remember this at all times when we're tempted to gossip or slander someone or to shame them or to judge them because they may be different. Because that is not showing love, and that is not the love that we are called to be displaying. Love isn't about seeking to satisfy our own desires, but to think of ourselves less and of others more. In a way we truly demonstrate this kind of love is to not be easily angered or provoked, to not hold the wrongs of others against them. And the list goes on, as I just read out. And rather than being happy or delighting in evil that we see in the world, instead, we should be seeking the truth and rejoicing when it is found. And we should be seeking good. We're called to protect one another, to trust both in one another and most importantly in the promises of Christ that he has given us. The promise that we have been forgiven from our sins through the death and resurrection of Christ on the cross. We're called to have hope, the kind of hope that is beyond human circumstance. The kind of hope that reminds us that we are a part of the family of God, that we play a role in the body, and that love will always persevere and keep running the race. And that perseverance can only be sustained when the body is whole and the body is well. So instead of having gift envy, Paul tells us we should be actively looking for ways that we can be strengthened in the body. You may know the phrase, when iron sharpens iron. By using the gifts that we have been given and encouraging others in the gifts that they have and helping the body to stay strong. Because, you know, if we were all clones, then it wouldn't be a very functioning body at all. We all need to be different and embracing our uniqueness in Christ. Because if everyone was gifted in worship, but we had no one in administration or welcoming or teaching, then our church experience isn't going to be a very good one, is it? We need people serving in all those realms, both in the worship setting and beyond, as we serve our community. So how can we be supporting one another and staying ninja warrior fit? And how can we keep our body strong? And what do we do when a member of our body is failing or feeling weak or feeling like they aren't a part of this place? How can we be supporting one another and looking beyond our own circumstances and caring for those around us? How can we care for a member of our body that is not as it should be? Late last year, I went horse riding, and I hadn't long been dating my now husband, and I fell off the horse while it started galloping, and I broke my elbow. And I'm very lucky that's all I broke, because it's quite a nasty fall. But breaking your elbow is actually really inconvenient. I don't know if anyone's ever done it, but I couldn't actually use my left hand. Like, that bone's fully connected there. So my arm was in a cast and a sling for about 5 weeks, and I needed help. My lovely mother lent me her car. I drive a manual, so I couldn't change gears. I couldn't grip the gear knob, so my mum lent me her automatic, and my dad put a little handle on the steering wheel so I could turn it without having to use my left hand. And Bowen, my boyfriend at the time, he had to cut my meat for me, which was really humbling experience, not being able to do something that had once been so simple and easy for me. But what do we do when the body suffers and it needs a sling or it needs a cast and it needs some time to heal? Well, our body slows down, doesn't it? We're not going to finish the race while they're in that place. So we need to stop and we need to be caring for any member of our body that may be falling behind. And we need to be offering support and helping them, because when one member of the body suffers, the whole body suffers, right? It impacts everything. So how can we be supporting one another and using our gifts in service for each other? So think about who in our congregation needs this kind of love and support at the moment, and how can we spur them on to help them get fit so they can play their part as a member of this body. And the point of exercising our gifts is to point people to the cross. And we shouldn't be doing things because we feel obligated to or we're told to, because we know the reason why we should be doing it is because we know that we have been given the greatest gift of all, that we have love, the love of a God who loved us so much that he sent his one and only son to die for us and take away our sins. And because of that love, that should be inspiring us to love all those around us and serve them, because there is no greater gift than love. Thank you.